One of the main reasons, if not the number one reason, we have the Bible is because God wants us to know and understand his character, what he is like, what he does, why he does what he does, and what does he like and dislike. God's character is very important, and personally, I think we mess this up pretty terribly. We misjudge his character. We horribly get a completely wrong and false picture of who he is. Now, we know the enemy lies to us constantly about the real character of God. And even many Christians, maybe even most of us, really don't trust God like we should if we truly grasped God's beautiful and holy character. How do I know this? How do I know that we all misunderstanding God's character? The Bible clearly says God is love. He is characterized as having infinite love, love without any limitation. If we really understood that, then why do we doubt him? Why do we question him? Why do we have such low expectations of his will and his plans for our lives? Well, today, I want to help change that. Today from Scripture, I want to help change that if I can. And it's only based on two words that are found in the book of Revelation. And they clearly describe God the Son, Jesus Christ. In chapter 5 of Revelation, when God the Father, the one who sits on the throne, has a scroll in his hand, a very special scroll, with 7 seals sealing it shut, a mighty angel cries out, "Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?" John, the writer of Revelation, says that no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. No one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or even look inside. Now, here comes the two words that help us to understand who God is and what he's like. I'm going to share a screen so you can see the scripture. It's very, very simple, very easy. Let's see, where can I find it? Of course, I can't find it. Would not be. There it is. Let's try this. Can anybody see that? That's a start. Good job. Let's see if I can expand that. All right. Here's the verse. "And I saw in the middle of the throne and of the four living creatures and in the middle of the elders, a lamb standing as if slaughtered." The first word is lamb. It shows up 27 times in the book of Revelation. And this is the very first time it is used. It describes Jesus the Son. The word is actually in a diminutive form, a little lamb, which could mean that it is describing the smallness or delicateness of the lamb. Or it is possible that the writer was trying to describe the lamb as very precious, very special, very loved. Either way, to describe the lamb, small, delicate, or very precious, very special, very loved, this is a description of the one being in the entire creation who is worthy to break the 7 seals and open and read the scroll. But why a small, delicate, precious lamb? This is the book of Revelation. Isn't this when God the Father and Jesus the Son finally totally win and the enemy is completely defeated? Isn't this when Jesus is the lion, the invincible, conquering, all-powerful, all-dominating victor who is crowned with many crowns? Why isn't there a lion on the throne? Well, I think it speaks to the character of God the Son. He is all-powerful. But the Holy Spirit and John want to show us that his power and authority come from what he did and who he was, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Which leads us to the second word that is just shocking to me, slaughtered. I don't like this word at all. I hate it. The original word is all, that is always used in the New Testament denotes violent killing. Literally, the word is cutting the throat. Now, it could mean, and sometimes is translated, as deliberate murder or even judicial execution. But in this particular case, it is the killing of the sacrifice at the altar. Now, the most common translation of this word in most English translation is the word slain, the lamb slain. That seems to me to be a bit less threatening and ominous, doesn't it? Slaughtered versus slain. I'm afraid slain just isn't strong enough. At least one version of the Bible translates this original word as sacrificed. They put it, a lamb standing as if sacrificed. I kind of think that really sums up the point. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world standing, that means victorious, he won, he's alive, he is resurrected, standing in the very center of the throne, but the identifier here is as if sacrificed. Now, this is no surprise to us. We all know this. Jesus sacrificed his life. He went willingly to the cross. Throughout the Old Testament and New Testament, we get this picture of he becoming the sacrificial lamb that took all of the sin and rebellion upon himself, and he paid the price of our sins. But what do these two words mean for us, lamb and sacrificed? What do these two words show us about the character of God? I said it was beautiful, and I said it was holy. God the Son, Jesus, does not present himself as strong and all-powerful, but as humble, meek, innocent, small, delicate, the complete opposite of might and power. He reveals himself as sacrificial. God, sacrificial, fully willing to pay the price, fully extending that infinite love even to all of his enemies. Because while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Us, those who crucified him. We weren't there, but we were. And he prayed for us, saying, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. How can this be applied to us? Well, what should our attitude toward others be? Should it be sacrificial? Should it be lamb-like? What should our attitude towards students and applicants be? What should our attitude toward vendors and salesmen be? It cracks me up. Susan receives phone calls all the time at the front desk there of NBC, as she is, asking if we want our campus, you know, landscaped, and or do we want some construction, or how about the new roof we need to put on? And she has to say, sorry, we're an online school, and that usually shuts them up. It's very interesting. What should our attitude, what should her attitude be toward these guys? Meek, lamb-like, serving. What should our attitude towards creditors and accreditors, that's two different words, creditors and accreditors, be? Well, the lamb is our model. The lamb won and now sits on the throne. The lamb won by sacrificing himself. Humility is his character. Humility is what he wants in us. Meekness is what he wants in us. Willing to pay the price for others is what he wants to us. Visiting the sick and those in prison, washing feet, feeding the hungry, service. For the man, Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. That's the character of God, and that's what he's asking from us.